So we are reading from the 10 to 11, chapter 11 in text number 5.
Asavartasya muktasya
Asavartasya muktasya
Vailakshanyam vadamite
Vailakshanyam vadamite
Viruddha dharmyam stata
Viruddha dharmyam stata
Stita yoreka dharmini
Stita yoreka dharmini
Atha thus
Atha thus
Bhaktasya
Buddhasya
of the conditioned soul.
Of the conditioned soul.
Muktasya.
Muktasya.
Of the liberated personality of Godhead.
Of the liberated personality of Godhead.
Vailakshanyam.
Vailakshanyam.
Different characteristics.
Different characteristics.
Vadami.
Vadami.
I will now speak.
I will now speak.
Te.
Te.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Viruddha.
Viruddha.
Opposing.
Opposing.
Dharmino.
Dharmino.
Whose two natures.
Whose two natures.
Tata.
My dear
Uttava,
Sthitayo,
of the two who are situated,
of the two who are situated,
Eka Dharmini,
Eka Dharmini,
in the one body which manifests the different characteristics,
in the one body which manifests the different characteristics.
Translation by Shri Prabhupada. Thus, my dear Uttava, in the same material body, we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. I shall now speak to you about the different characteristics. In verse 36 of the previous chapter, Uddhava inquired about the different symptoms of liberated and the conditioned life. Srila Swami explains that the characteristics of the bondage and liberation may be understood in two divisions. As the difference between the ordinary conditioned soul and the eternally liberated personality of Godhead, or as the difference between the conditioned soul, or as the difference between the conditioned and the liberated living entities in the jiva category. The Lord will first explain the difference between the ordinary living entity and the supreme personality of Godhead, which may be understood as the difference between the controlled and the controller. Shurumilitam yeva tasmai shri Shri Chaitanyam abhisam sthapitam yena putale Swam rupa padamayam tadati swapadatina Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Tathagam Shri Rupa Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sadrajanam Sadaravnatam Vidam Satyutam Sadvaitam Now, the Lord seeks to basically clarify So the Lord is giving the qualifications in three different ways. He is describing the qualities of who is a liberated soul. So he goes on to describe the 29 qualities of a sadhu in this chapter. And then, what do the sadhus do with these qualities? The sadhus perform some activities. So he is describing seven angas of the bhakti. So of the 64 angas of bhakti, I think the 22 angas of bhakti are predominantly described in this chapter. And the main emphasis on the daily worship. Today the purport being very small, and today is also the disappearing day of two stalwart Vaishnavas. Do you know which is today is the disappearing day of which Vaishnavas?
Raghunatha Maran Thakur Nasimadi Bhava.
Raghunandan Das Thakur and Vamsi Das Pavarimara. Both these Vaishnavas, and the theme of this chapter is very consistent. How? Both these Vaishnavas had developed very advanced mode of worshipping the deity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that the disappearance day of the Vaishnava is very glorious. Vaishnava is more glorious in his disappearance than in his appearance. Very few people have the knowledge when the Vaishnavas appear of what he is going to do. The scriptures most of the time describe about the appearance of the Supreme Lord in his incarnations. So many sovereign Vaishnavas are aware that, you know, the Supreme Lord is going to be born and he is going to perform so and so activities. But about Vaishnavas, this knowledge is not there. Vaishnava becomes glorious because the way he spends his life in propagating the Krishna consciousness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is advising us to make this day very seriously. What do we do on this day? He says that the disappearance day of the Vaishnava and the Ekadasi day should be followed by practicing austerities. He goes on further to describe that the disappearance day of a Vaishnava is more glorious than the Ekadasi day, because by following, you know, the principles of renunciation on the Ekadasi day, you can come to the platform of liberation. But by following, basically by performing the austerities in the moon of the Vaishnava, on the Vaishnava disappearance day, you can get a Krishna prema. If you by chance, for example, you know, you cannot actually follow the appearance day of Ekadasi, the Ekadasi day, that may still be alright. But the Vaishnava disappearance day, he is laying a grave emphasis. Now, what's going to happen if you are going to follow? If you are actually going to observe the fast today, he says your chanting will become attentive. You must glorify the pastimes of the Vaishnava on his disappearance day and pray to the Lord that you can imbibe the same mood as this Vaishnava said. So today I think it is the desire of Bhagavatam, and which coincides wonderfully with this, you know, this great day. That the purport is very small, there is nothing much to discuss about the philosophy, so let's actually come to the point. We should like to talk about these two personalities. We take up first, you know, Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur is identified with the worship of the Gopinath deity. He appeared in the family of Mukunda Sarkar in Narahari Sarkar, in Sri Kanda. Now, Mukunda Sarkar was the royal physician to the king of Hussein, to the king Hussein of Bengal. So he was, and they had the family lady of Gopinath that they used to worship over the generations. These are exalted devotees. Mukunda Sarkar is not different from Vrindavan, and Raghunandan Thakur is not different from, it is described, you know, Lord Pradyumna himself. These are very elevated, Nityasiddhanta devotees. When Mukunda and Narahari Sarkar will go to Jagannath Puri to take part in Rath Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask a very stunning question to Mukunda. He'll ask, Mukunda, are you the father of Raghunath or Raghunath is your father? Jagannath Mahaprabhu is sitting in front of me. If somebody goes and asks him, are you the father of Aditya or Aditya is your father? How is he going to react? It looks like a weird question. Mukunda is obviously the biological father of Raghunanda. But Mukunda is thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking the question. What is his intention? What is he trying to ask me? And after thinking for a while, Mukunda tells Mahaprabhu, Raghunanda is my father and I am his child. Why is it so, Mukunda? Then Mukunda answers, because he is infusing me in the Krishna consciousness. I am inspired by his devotion. He has a higher devotion than me. Mahaprabhu would say that, Mukunda, you have correctly understood the Siddhanta. What is the Siddhanta? The Siddhanta is, we must recognize the Vaishnava by the spiritual advancement. Vaishnava should be respected by six criteria. And the topmost of those six criteria is the spiritual advancement of a Vaishnava. He says, you have correctly understood. And he told all the devotees who were present in the assembly that anyone who asks this question to Mukunda, his devotion will increase by leaps and bounds. Just asking this. So, you know, the devotees may wonder that, what are we doing by asking this question to Mukunda? You are obviously doing the glorification of Raghunandan Thakur. So, Mahaprabhu is laying down the principle that when you glorify Vaishnava, your bhakti will increase. Which is all we know, that if you commit a first offense against the Vaishnava, the bhakti is chopped off straight away. So, how is it that Mukunda was so much inspired by the devotion of Raghunandan Thakur? In that way, the family of Mukunda Sarkar and Narahari Sarkar were worshipping Gopinath Devi over the generations. Not one, two, but father, grandfather and great-grandfather. So one day, when the king called upon Mukunda, because Mukunda was a royal physician, was a doctor, and king was feeling sick for some reason and he was required to go and attend to the king, so Mukunda was in the middle of the daily worship and he had to leave everything, and so he called his son, 5-year-old Raghu, come here. I have to go. But Gopinath needs to be fed. Here is a 5-year-old boy and the father is instructing him. Gopinath needs to be fed. And it's a heavy responsibility on you, Raghu. Right? This baby has been worshipped by me, by my father, by my grandfather, and he must be fed and make sure he eats. This is the instruction Mukunda gave to Raghunanda. Make sure he eats. Raghunanda said, okay, father, I'll try my best. And here goes Mukunda, and Raghunanda goes to the kitchen, he collects all the paraphernalia, goes in front of the Lord, and, you know, puts down everything, chants all the mantras with basically the bell in the hand, but the devi is not eating. Raghunanda became frustrated. You know, what's going on? You know, the father has told me that he's got to eat, he's not eating. What's going on here? So, he actually started crying. That if my father will come, he has told me that make sure that the deity eats, and the deity has been worshipped for the generations, and what am I doing? So, chanting the bells very loudly, he started talking to the deity, please eat, please eat, please eat, please eat. And, the Lord on the other side was actually getting worried, you know what's going on? Because this guy is not going to give up. So, Gopinath said, okay. And Gopinath, inspired by sincerity of the heart, he stretched his hand in the front. He not only ate, normally Krishna can eat by any senses, we understand basically philosophically, but here Krishna had to physically eat because Raghunandan would not understand that Krishna can eat even by his glance. So the deity had to basically, you know, extend his hand. He took basically everything on the plate. Because Raghunandan's prayer to Gopinath was that he must eat everything, you know. He had no concept of, you know, that Krishna should eat something and give some remnants. So, you know, Gopinath finished the whole plate. He said, that's wonderful, the job done. And now the father comes back. He says, Raghu, get me the remnants. Prabhu saying, Daddy. Daddy? You're staying on Gopinath is hidden everything. Everything? No, he has hidden everything. There's no evidence for it. Gopinath was stunned. He says, this boy, this 5-year-old boy, he's so sincere. He has never spoken a lie in his life. He is telling Gopinath has hidden everything. Maybe he has physically done everything. But no, there was so much preparations done. How can a 5-year-old boy probably finish physically everything which is offered? There is something Gopinath was actually musing over this thing, you know, over a few days. And he says, I really want to test this out. You know what's going on. And after a few days, he called Raghu. Raghu, you offered the hookah to that 80 other day, isn't it? If you do the same thing today, I have to go. So, okay. And Raghu started doing the same thing. So Mukunda went out and came back again and hid behind the door and he was watching what's going on. And now Raghu is sitting in front of the table. He's chanting mantra, Devi is not eating. And he is getting frustrated again. So again, please eat, please eat, please eat. Devi is not eating. So immediately took a laddu and put it in the hand of the Gopinath. Gopinath, you have to eat. And he pulled him. You know, he was physically not expecting the father is here, you know, you got to eat. And Gopinath said, now what to do? So Gopinath had a bite. After Gopinath had a first bite, he was holding half the laddu in his hand. Mukunda standing behind the door, watch this process. And he immediately basically came. He really could not resist himself. Gopinath saw Mukunda is watching, Raghunandan saw, and the lady's hand stuck with the laddu in his hand as it was. And immediately Mukunda picked up Raghunandan and pressed him and showered him with all the tears, the description that we read in the Shastras, and that made Mukunda speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghu is my father. He is enthusing me into the devotion. I am inspired. I am offering the bhoga daily. But, you know, after chanting the mantras, I put the bed down and come down and thinking that Krishna is sitting. No, Raghu doesn't live. Raghu makes Krishna. He is a superior devotee. So this is Raghunandan Thakur. And this was a spontaneous mode of devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's very important to understand that in this Sardar family, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He told Mukunda Das that Mukund, you may continue to act as a royal physician. You accumulate the wealth. To Narhari Sardar, he told, you associate with the devotees and you preach. And to Raghunandan, he said, you worship the deity. So three instructions were given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sardar family. And he told Mukund, it's absolutely okay for you to work and maintain the family, right, of devotees, as long as you are following four regulative principles and you are following the Yuga Dharma, which is Sankirtan. So you are quite okay to basically do that. So he has given this instruction. So Mahaprabhu has laid down the standards, you know, in basically this family. Raghunandan Thakur was a very ecstatic dancer. Now this is another unique pastime. One day when Abhiram Thakur came to the house of Raghunandan, Abhiram Thakur offered obeisances. Now when Abhiram Thakur's personality is very unique. If Abhiram Thakur offers you the obeisances and you are not transcendentally situated, you know what can happen to you? You can actually lose your body. So, Abhiram Thakur came and offered obeisances to Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur basically got up and immediately embraced actually Abhiram. And both of them got absorbed in Krishna Kirtan and started dancing. The dancing was so much ecstatic that Raghunandan lost his ankle bell. And his ankle bell, which is called a nupur, it went flying 4 miles and it went and fell near the hut of his disciple in a place called Akai Hatta. So his actually disciple was absorbed in his sadhana and all of a sudden a big voice happened, bang, And he saw, you know, what the hell is going on over here?
And he saw that there was the ankle well of Ruman.
And that place was excavated, and it is now known as a Nukurku. So this is basically another great thing that is dancing. And his absorption in the kirtan, and the force that he would generate, the spiritual potency was such that a small thing like ankle bell would fly 4 miles and actually fall. And this is very hard for us to believe, but this is basically the fact which has happened. So this is Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur, he gave a special benediction to Srinivas Acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srinivas Acharya for preaching. And Raghunandan Thakur and Srinivas Acharya were, you know, talking, I mean, this is a guftegu between the two Vaishnavas, you know, Guriyam Pratyati Pruchyam. So, Srinivas Acharya was extremely worried. And he was telling Raghunandan that Raghunandan Mahasaya, with the disappearance of the Lord, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, I see there is a problem. What is the problem? He says that the hearts of the Vaishnavas are now filled with the doubt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present on the planet, there was no issue with following any process. So special potency of the Supreme Lord was pervading. And now, both Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have gone. The Vaishnava's heart is afflicted with a doubt. And Raghunandan said, don't you worry, Srinivas. You take the process of preaching, because that is the instruction of Mahaprabhu. You will revive the mercy of Mahaprabhu by following his instruction. His instruction is to preach. As long as you keep yourself fixed on the path of preaching, you will not only become pure, but you will also be able to make others pure. So this special benediction from Raghunandan Thakur to Srinivas Acharya applies to all the preachers as well. So this is basically these are the glories in brief about Raghunandan Thakur. We understand here a very exalted mode of, you know, just worshipping the deity, very spontaneous. And today is a day to approach the Supreme Lord. That whatever deity worship we do, we come to a spontaneous platform. Spontaneous platform begins with recognizing that the Lord is personal. He is not a statue or an idol. When you offer a bhoga, he is meant to eat. Of course, we can't basically sit and, you know, chant the bells, and, you know, that is to come from the heart. And if it comes from the heart, the Lord may basically, you know, do the same reciprocation as they did with Raghunandan Thakur. The second Vaishnava who appeared today, and it is very difficult to speak about him, is Vamsidas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he was born in Bangladesh. His name was Bhairav Chandra, and he appeared in the family of a fisherman. They were in the business of catching the fish and selling the fish. After selling the fish from the market, when Bhairav Chandra was going back to his home, there was a Gauralila temple on the way. In this temple, he would actually go, do the darshan of the Lord, and associate with the devotees there. That temple was run by one Narottam Das Babaji, and this Narottam Das Babaji was in the lineage of Narottam Das Thakur. So what Narottam Das Babaji did, that he taught Bhairav Chandra Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Imagine a boy 15 years of age, right, has no knowledge of the Siddhanta or of philosophy, but just by associating with the pure bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, he became so transformed, he almost came to the stage of renunciation. He became so spiritually elevated that it actually began to cause some anxieties to his parents. And his parents thought, we may lose our eldest son. Let us get him married. Fix him up. So Bhairav Chandra, they got him married. After Bhairav Chandra became the father of one son, within 1 year, he left the home and he accepted the renounced power of life. And that is Vamsidas Balaji Maharaj. It's very difficult to speak about this personality. He was almost behaving, he was an avadhuta. If you analyze his personality, he would hardly take any bath, keep his hairs uncut, unlocked, put only a coping on his body, speak to the people in a very unintelligible manner, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was coexisting, who was performing his pastimes at that point of time, he actually forbade his disciples to associate with this Babaji. Because he clearly told his disciples that we are Gustiyanandis. Babaji is a Paramahansa Bhajanandi. You are performing your sadhana according to rules and regulations. If you come in contact with a Babaji, you may do an offense of judging him by the rules and regulations, and the Babajis are not following any rules and regulations. So immediately if you come in contact with this Babaji, then you will commit an offense. Stay away from him. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would see Vamsidas Babaji, he would offer the obeisances to him from the distance. But when his disciples would not be around him, then Bhaktisiddhanta would go and fall at the obeisances of Vamsidas Babaji. Because Bhaktisiddhanta himself is a Paramahansa and he was completely qualified to understand what Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was. Very spontaneous in his mood of devotion. Wonderful pastimes. Vamsidas would never lock his house. He had 6 days. How many? 6 days. Even Balabhava days. And he had Nitari Gaura Gadaka, 3+1=4, and then he has Radhakrishna days. His routines were, he would rise early, go and take the bath he feels like, pluck the flowers, go and do some bhiksha, madhukari, come back, stitch the garlands for the 6 days, and begin to cook the bhoga for the Lord, with no consciousness of time. Whatever bhiksha he has collected, like you know the vegetables or some rice, he would take hours to clean them. Can you imagine? He will actually wash the vegetables again and again and again and again, and washing every part of the vegetable that there is no dust anywhere. And you would see all the rice that, you know, there is no husk. Now this is the devotion. This is what you have to understand here. And then, by the time he would cook the bhoga, it will be in the evening time. So his devotees would get the bhoga only actually in the evening. And then Babaji would offer the bhoga. And then for the whole night, you know, he would sing. He would chant the holy name. Yeah, this was his life. No consciousness of time at all. So there was one Gaudiya Vaishnava who was associating quite regularly with this Babaji. In his book he has written that he was quite surprised to see one day at 9 o'clock in the morning Babaji was cooking bhoga. He was wondering what's wrong with him. Normally the bhoga time is 6 o'clock he paid. How come today he is doing it at 9 o'clock? So he went to him and said, Babaji, this is wonderful. You should daily offer bhoga at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know the regularity of worship, the neophyte devotees. Even if we see something happening according to rules and regulations, oh, that's perfect, that's wonderful. So he went and told Babaji. Babaji said, what the hell do you think I am? Says, do you think I am the servant of the father of these ladies? Then actually I should basically book at their appointed time. If they want the service to be performed at their time, then they can go elsewhere. It's not going to happen here. And this guru was completely disturbed by the answer. He says, look at who I've got as my deities. That is Nityananda Prabhu. He's an avatara. He says he has got no caste. He can go and eat actually outside. Why is he not doing that? There is Gaura and Gadadhar. Gadadhar can cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they are actually taken care of. Then actually I've got a small deity of a Gopal. There is a cow that comes over here and gives the milk. Gopal can be fed by that milk. And do you know why I'm cooking? I'm cooking for my last pair of deities, which is Radha Krishna. Because if I don't cook for Radha Krishna, then they will go to Vrindavan and do Madhukari. That's the reason I'm cooking. So this is the mood. This devotee made it a point not to utter a single word to the Babaji. He actually didn't expect that, you know, such a big lecture will follow. The Babaji would punish his natives. Now we are glorifying this pastime too, but we can't actually follow this because we are not in that labor. He had certain plates, or you know, you can call as a loda, in which he will put the bhoga and he will offer to the natives. So one day, a thief came and stole the lota of Gauranga. Now, Babaji would never basically lock the house. People would ask him, Babaji, why are you actually keeping the house locked? So Babaji would answer that a person who is the owner of the house, if he has got a soft cover for the thieves, then what can I do? He says, Gauranitai are so much attached to the people of Nadia that they allow any Tom, Dick and Harry to come inside and they steal away all the things. He says, I am an outsider because I am coming from Bangladesh. He says, do you know I've got the lock? I've got the lock and I've got the three keys. And the three keys are with these three ladies. But they never lock the house. And sometimes a cow comes inside and makes my house topsy-turvy, and then I have to basically talk to them for the hours, and I have to, be all the time. And now this loda has been stolen. So, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm now not going to offer anything to Gauranga. Let them go hungry. And then Nityananda Prabhu was worried. He said that, this Baba is, Sankhya Pobri. He is basically not going to offer me anything. And then, Nityananda Prabhu immediately, inspired the thief who had taken the loda to come and give the loda. So he says, okay, Nityananda has given his loda back, so now I am going to offer bhoga to Nityananda Prabhu. So he offered the bhoga to Nityananda Prabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking, oh, Nityananda is sitting, how about me? And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inspired the thief that please, actually, return my loda as well. So, the thief came back and basically gave the loda, and that's how basically both Gauranga have been fed. Then Babaji went to Gauranga and said, I know you are performing all these pastimes, but you must understand that I am getting old and I cannot bear basically all these things, right? I've got a lot of devotion with you, but look at what you are doing to me, You are allowing the thieves to come inside the house, steal your lota, I am cooking the bhoga, I don't know what's going on, you behave yourself, This is how basically Babaji would speak to the deities. When Babaji became very old, he was actually talking to basically the devotees that because for the last 3 days I've not gone outside and done any begging, Mahaprabhu now wants to go and maintain me, so he's going to go outside in Nadia and beg. He said, I'm not going to let that happen. Do you know how? And he picked up a stick. He said, I'm now warning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your presence. So he picked up a stick and he warned Mahaprabhu, if you think that you will go out and beg to maintain me, then do you know what I will do to you? I will break your legs. This is how he would basically speak. One day, Babaji was in a fish market. And one lady approached Babaji and said, Babaji, wonderful fish. Have one.
he actually developed desire to taste the fish. Yeah? And as soon as he detected the desire within the heart, he became very curious. He said, Krishna has started playing games again. He is not protecting me. I have given up my life. I renounce the whole material world to be in the protection. Look at what he is doing. He became so curious. He started running to his Putin. He loved this Putin and started blasting his dailies like anything. And then, actually, everybody in the village basically thought, something is going to happen. So, you know, they all followed and they heard basically big shouts, you know, coming from inside the Putin. And when he actually came out, he actually tied all the ladies by a rope. And he brought all the ladies out. And he threw all the ladies into Ganga. Imagine, throwing the ladies into Ganga. And he kept the end of the rope in his, actually, under his feet. And people were telling, Babaji, what you are doing? You are throwing the ladies into Ganga and then you will pick up a stone and you will basically throw it. And you will just make everyone run out. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples came to know about this. That this is what Bhaktisiddhanta is doing. So they immediately went to Bhakti Siddhanta and told him, Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta has gone crazy. He has thrown his ladies in Ganga, he has tied them by a rope, and is holding the end of a rope in his hand, and this is what he is doing to his ladies. Bhaktisiddhanta said, now don't go to the Baba at all. He says, I'm telling you this, not because Babaji is in Maya, but because you cannot understand what he is doing. He says, this is a very advanced interaction going on between the Lord and his devotees. And the Lord, in order to accept such sweet punishments at the hand of the devotee, he has created the situation. You will not be able to understand. This is basically, you know, this is something that this happens in the bhava stage. This is actually beyond you. But just don't go and associate with bhava. It's very dangerous. Because if you will go, I know what it is. What are you going to do? He will become very angry, he will speak to you, you know, by nasty words and pick up stones and basically throw it. So, this is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was able to understand such intricacies of bhava that Bhaktisiddhanta was, and only by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that we can understand the advanced level of such Paramahansa devotees, like basically Bhaktisiddhanta Bhavati Maharaj. He said he's very advanced. What he is doing is right. But he's doing that at a certain state which you have not reached, which you cannot understand. So don't go and associate with him now. So this was Vamsidas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji would take his things wherever he goes. If you go on a yatra, it's no good to leave the ladies behind. You must carry them with you. And what will he do? He will go to Vrindavan, he will go to Jagannath Puri, but he will not go to the temples. You know, in Jagannath Puri temples in Vrindavan. He would actually just go to the holy places. He would stay, he would take shelter underneath a banyan tree. And he would still continue to worship his deities. He would just go to the holy place. But he would not go to the temple of Jagannath. Because he could see Lord Jagannath in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no need for him to go. And his mood was so much spontaneous that in Jagannath Puri, you know, the ocean is very auspicious, it's very auspicious to take bath there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in that ocean. So Vamsidas Babaji took his Gopala deity to the ocean. And you know, how we take the child to the ocean and then you know the waves are coming, so don't we say like this? Come here, ocean, come here, come here. So the Babaji was basically talking to the ocean. See, Gopala wants to take bath, come here, come here. As soon as Babaji spoke this, the waves of the ocean rose. And they crossed the beach and they came all the way where he was standing. And basically he could give bath to his deities. So elevated. In Jagannath Puri, there is a river called Mahanandi. Now, I think this Mahanandi river is where Nityananda Prabhu broke the dandas. And basically threw it in the river. And he was giving, you know, all excuses to take them out of the river. He didn't take the dandas. So when Vamsidas Babaji was with his ladies and he was crossing the river, he told a boatman, hey, can you take me to a point? There is a big yellow snake here. The workman was scary. Is Balaji coming? You know, he's talking about the snake. He said, yeah, there's a snake here. Where is the snake? He said, okay, I'll show you. And then he guided the boatman. So boatman took basically the boat to a point, and the boatman could not see, says, don't worry, the snake will appear very shortly. And all of a sudden a yellow snake came there. And he told his Gopal, see Anantadeva. Mm-hmm. And then basically the snake stayed for some time. And basically the snake, you know, just disappeared. This is basically Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Very, very elevated. So I don't know, there are so many pastimes. One day, on a full moon night, when Vamsidas was there with his associates, normally they would bring a tent while if they were doing the yatra. But this was a full moon night. They did not describe what place it was. But on that day he told all his associates not to bring the tent, because something was going to happen on that night. And on that night, the 50 attractive ladies dressed in white, they came, offered obeisances to Babaji, took his blessings, and then they went. And everybody was very stunned to these blessings. And they were not looking like the village women. They were not escorted by anybody. They just came. They offered obeisances. Babaji gave them the blessings. And they went. So, his disciples and his associates and his followers included, they were the demigoddesses from the heaven. It's amazing. One pastime is very interesting. Say, one day, he cooked the sweet rice for his Gopala deity. He cooked the sweet rice, and all of a sudden, what happened? He threw the sweet rice. He did offer. Very strange. And you know, the people who were standing around said, Babaji, what are you doing? You cooked such wonderful sweet rice. And instead of offering to Gopal, you threw it away. He said, no, Gopal, ate. Gopal ate the sweet rice right now, which is offered to Radha Govinda in Vrindavan. And this people were standing. You say, we can't see basically Gopal eating what Babaji is doing. You know? It sounds completely basically crazy to us. But they said, no. In the past, he has done some unique things and has turned out to be true. Let's actually verify this. So they immediately sent the message to Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan to find out, hey, what did you offer to Radha Govinda today? So say, his sweet rice was offered. The special sweet rice was prepared for Radha Govinda on that day and was offered. And he says, my Gopal, right, he has ignored the bhoga which I am putting with so much, I am taking so much trouble, I go out and back, I put so much of the labor, and look at what he has done. Instead of eating the sweet rice, he has accepted the sweet rice of Radha Govinda. So out of anger and disgust, he threw away all this, you know, the sweet rice. So this is Vamsidas Babaji. I'm instructed to basically, you know, complete the class at about 8:30 because there are certain announcements that basically need to be made. Thank you for bearing with me. I really enjoyed giving my first Bhagavad class, and hopefully, thank you, Adhishtha Prabhu, for giving me an opportunity, and hopefully, there will be quite a few more in the future. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Raghunandan Das Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.